So a week ago, I was able to go to Ohio to take part in my final intensive class for seminary. I stayed with a friend off campus, and because I drove there rather than flying, I was able to bring my dog Ranger with me. Oh, Ranger. Many of you have probably already heard, because we know I talk about him a lot, that Ranger is a very large greyhound, just shy of 80 pounds. Yet for all his size, Ranger is very often afraid. Loud noises, little kids, the wind blowing too hard, Ranger is afraid of it. He also is very timid around stairs, but luckily with our current living situation, we really don't use stairs a whole lot in the house, and so he doesn't usually need to deal with them. Until we stayed at my friend Kayla's house. At Kayla's house, there were stairs. And they were hardwood and they looked steep. And every time I went upstairs to the guest bedroom, Ranger would pace around and whine and cry and at night howl. He couldn't see me anymore and he wondered when I was coming back down. He was kind of afraid and definitely did not have to wait for me to come back down. Now, for Ranger, the solution to this problem was obvious, if not easy. Kayla and I carried him, all 80 pounds, up and down the stairs twice a day for a week so that he could sleep in the bedroom with me like he's used to doing and not have to get scared or wait to see me. He's very spoiled. However, if we think back to our story with the Israelites and Moses, we can see that they were afraid and waiting for Moses to come back down the mountain, and their solution seemed far less clear. And that lack of clarity, it led to anxiety. See, we don't like to wait. We don't want to know, we don't want to wonder what comes next. We want instant answers, instant results, instant clarity. As our text began today, Moses has been on Mount Sinai with God for 40 days and nights, while the Israelites have been waiting at the bottom of the mountain for his return. And then the people saw that Moses delayed to come down the mountain. It's already been 40 days, over a month, with no sign of Moses and no new instructions on what God has planned for the people next. I don't know what happens with you when you're forced to wait for something, but I know that I can get pretty impatient. The impatience can lead to anxiety and sometimes even fear. And even when we know that the waiting is for a good thing, say waiting for the birth of a child, there is still anxiety, still nerves. Here in 2020, with a pandemic upon us, unrest all around us, and an election just a few weeks away, we are anxious. We are afraid. And we are tired of waiting and may very much be ready to take matters into our own hands like the Israelites did. Come, make gods for us who shall go before us. As for this man Moses, the man who brought us up out of Egypt, we do not know what has happened, what has become of him. Almost as if to say, if Moses won't get back down here and tell us what God has planned, we'll make our own God. You and me, tired as we are of waiting for the pandemic to be over, for votes to be cast, for the future of our country to be given some direction, I'd wager we would rather make our own God or gods too, sometimes. At least then we could feel like we have some control, right? Feel like we're actually doing something. Right now, it may very much feel like God is doing nothing, and we don't like to wait. Beloved, God is at work. God is active in the world. God is on the move all around us, even when we can't or don't see it. Down at the foot of the mountain, the Israelites did not know what Moses and God were doing. They could not see God giving Moses the Ten Commandments, these laws that would govern their lives for the purpose of caring for all in the community. They couldn't see that God was working in their lives through Moses to teach them rituals and ways of honoring and worshiping God, ways of strengthening their relationship with their Creator. Instead, all it seemed was that Moses, and therefore God, had abandoned them. And in a harsh desert wilderness, nonetheless. So it is for many, perhaps most of us, this day. Maybe feeling abandoned by God or by government or you name it. And yet God is at work. God is at work in the thousands of people who are serving as volunteers at polling locations for the first time this year, filling vacant positions and making sure as many voting locations as possible stay open. God is at work in the nonprofits in our community, like Arlington's Food Assistance Center and the Street People's Assistance Network, making sure that all in our community have access to food and clothing and shelter, especially as it gets cooler. God is at work when you and your friends check in on one another, or when you send somebody a Halloween card to say hello and bring a smile, or when you take time to chat with that neighbor that you didn't really know before the pandemic began. Sure, you can't directly see the face of God in the midst of these moments, but just the same, these moments show us the kind of life God desires and works towards for everyone. A life where all are cared for, where we treat one another with dignity and kindness, where we exist as loving community, not divisive separation. God's vision and God's timing might be very different from ours, so much so that oftentimes we can't even comprehend it. But God is always at work. We are invited to be present. We are invited to make space for one another. We are invited to be with each other in all these creative ways that are possible during this time of distance. In this time where we find ourselves cycling through doubt and fear, it can be tempting to try to mask or solve the fears of others with trite encouragements or telling folks that they just need to trust God more. This is not to say that our faith is not rooted in our trust and belief in God, but rather that in a time of fear and uncertainty and doubt, we are called to sit with those who are suffering. Not just telling people about Jesus, but being like Jesus to them. And if we are the ones filled with doubt and fear, well, then you're invited to be present with each other. Strive to trust and be vulnerable. Listen to each other and hear the stories of God in scripture and in each other's lives, be it over coffee during breakfast or during check-in time at the staff meeting or while following up with your family after the school day. For me, at least, God is often most present in the presence of those who love and care for me. And so we are invited to be present with one another, to make space for God to be noticed and seen in our world, in our lives, and in the lives of others around us. We are invited to be present. There's a saying a campus pastor shared with me when I was in college, and I don't remember the exact wording now, but it was something like this. I come to church because when I can't believe, the community holds belief for me. And when I do believe, I hold faith for others. Holding faith as community is why we are invited to be present with each other. When we, like the Israelites, struggle to wait and desire to take matters into our own hands, or when in our impatience we want to give up belief entirely, our community will still be there, keeping the faith for us. And when it is easier for you to see God at work, to notice what the Spirit is up to, then you are invited to be part of that community, present and stable, holding the faith with and for others. God is at work, and it is in our presence as a community when we can best see and feel that work in action. Amen.